Back to the Prophecy Club.
Well, thank you, Stan. It's good to talk to all the Prophecy Club members and everyone that's tuned in today to hear this program. I'm just excited to be visiting with you again.
All right, let's go back to that moment. All right, you had died, you were in heaven, you've already seen many things, and then finally you saw Jesus face to face. On the last broadcast, you described him, what he looked like, the nail scars and the thorns and the scars were in his hands and everything. But let's go right to now the 10 signs leading to his return. What did he tell you those were?
Well, he said, first of all, that the time of my great harvest is near, and he sent me back on assignment telling me that I must warn the people of the world to get ready because he's coming back soon. And, Stan, I believe what's ahead of us is far greater than what's behind us. And he began to share with me intimate things that I believe mark the soon return of Jesus Christ to this world for mankind. The first thing that he began to talk to me about was that just before he would return, that there would be a great increase of knowledge. The scripture talks about it over in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And it says there, "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even until the end of time." And I believe that's where we are at right now currently. We certainly are seeing all of the signs being fulfilled. And then it says, "When many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall greatly increase." Now, the literal translation of that is that there's going to be a knowledge explosion. You know, mankind from the Garden of Eden till about the 1900s communicated with such devices as smoke signals or beating drums or the reflection of light against a brass shield of some sort. And then came the invention of telegraph, radio and television. You know, I'm only 56 years of age, but I remember the first black and white TV set that we had in our home as children. Telephones, fax machines, fiber optics, pagers, computers, internet. You and I have been communicating via email. And you can get in a plane, and you can fly 30,000 feet in the air. And if you so choose, you can take a phone that's made available to you right there in the plane, and you can call a loved one back on the earth. And medically, we have advanced with such knowledge that now we've had to come to a position that we redefine death. Because we can keep a person alive by machines for a long period of time. I remember, Stan, when I was a young man growing up, that I remember ministering at a church and coming home and going into my living room, and I watched as mankind, his name was Neil Armstrong, walked on the moon. And I still remember that phrase he said, "One small step for man, one giant step for mankind." And my mother, bless her sweet little heart, my adopted mama, she never believed that was a reality. She thought that was some Hollywood hoax and it was some fantasy that they conjured up on TV. So I'm just saying that from the time of mankind till the 1900s, when King David was alive on the earth and Julius Caesar, people rode horses. Then came the automobiles and the jet age, and you can fly from Paris to New York in 3 hours, and we've put a man on the moon. So we've just exploded in the realm of knowledge like no other generation on the face of the earth.
Let me say something about that. I used to teach a management course, and in that management course, we used to talk about this. There was a fellow that actually did some research. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but I know that this research went into from, like, back in the Dark Ages, the entire accumulated knowledge of the earth, all of mankind, was doubling every 100 years. Then it went to 75 years, and then to 50, and to 20. It is down to now to where the entire accumulated knowledge of the world doubles every 12 months. That's the last figure I
believe
have.
That. See, we've gone from torches that we use for light and archaic times to the invention of light bulbs to laser beams that can now do this delicate surgery, and they can cut through steel, or they can repair your eyes. Things that have just looked impossible, all of a sudden have become just an instant reality. They're just everyday occurrence. So I truly believe that that's the sign of the knowledge explosion. Now, I always like to say that education without God is in vain. You take a thief that'll steal the hubcap off your car, and you educate that dude, he'll steal your old car. So education just in itself is not a utopia. It's not going to solve mankind's problems, because Hitler, when he threw all of the precious Jewish people and their children into the Nazi ovens, many of those men had PhDs, and they acted just like barbarians. So the Bible tells us that we're a generation that's ever learning, but we're never coming to the knowledge of truth.
Amen.
And we're a generation that has forgotten the basic Ten Commandments, and that's why our schools have become a virtual war zone. You know, parents today, you better pray over your children. You don't know if they're going to go to school on the school bus and come home on it, or if they're going to be brought home in a body bag, because we've aborted and abandoned the basic foundation of our society, which is the Ten Commandments. And one of those is thou shalt not kill. Now, I really believe with all my heart that there's hope for America. I believe that America is going to see a great outpouring of the Spirit of God just before Jesus returns, and we're gonna turn around. But it's going to come back to putting God first, and to accepting individual responsibility for our actions, and obeying the Word of God, and for us to come back to a state of morality that will be pleasing to Christ. But I believe that's the first preeminent sign that indicates, and that's what Jesus spoke to me. He said that there was going to be a great increase in knowledge. And so even, as I said, in my lifetime, in my short span here upon the earth, I've seen that occur. The second thing that the Lord spoke to me was that would be the generation that would see the birth of nuclear warfare. And he gave me the scripture in Zechariah 14:12, and it says simply, "And this is the plague that the Lord shall send against all that come to fight against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall melt in their mouths." Now, my father was an avid Bible student, and probably a lot stronger in Bible prophecy than I am, and more along probably the line where you are and most of your Bible club members are. But that was very difficult for him and his generation to comprehend and understand what the Bible was talking about. But now we have H-bombs, Stan, that can produce 150 million degrees Fahrenheit in 1/1,000,000th of a second. That's what's going to cause a man's tongue to be literally consumed in his mouth, and his eyes in their sockets, and the flesh is going to fall off and just melt, and all you're going to have is a skeleton, and the flesh will be there melted before the skeleton even hits the ground. Now, that wasn't even fathomable. You can't even think about something of that magnitude 60 years ago. And now it's no longer a mystery. We have atomic warfare. And I believe it's going to be used to a greater degree in this last time. We have smart bombs and Patriot missiles. And I had a friend of mine whose son was over in Desert Storm, and we were talking one day, and he was laughing. And he said, "Gary, these bombs are so intelligent that they can program them to go down in these caves and crevices and wherever." And he said, "They can go right up to a cave, knock on the door, and if Saddam Hussein answers, they could blow him away." And of course, he was joking, but it is of that magnitude that this warfare has been developed. And who would have ever even thought about that? I mean, 60 years ago, you had a pistol or you had a rifle or a stick maybe to defend yourself, but nothing of this awesome, incredible magnitude. The third thing that God spoke to my heart was that would be the generation that would see the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And, of course, it happened on May the 15th, 1948, and I was born so Israel in 49, so that had already occurred when I came into this world and of course, was there in heaven with Jesus. Isaiah 66:8 talks about the greatest miracle that this modern 20th century generation has ever seen. It says, "A nation shall be born in a day." Now, one day Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and he was at the Mount of Olives, and it's recorded over in Matthew chapter 24, and they asked Christ, "When are you going to come back?" And in Matthew 24:32, Jesus said, "When you see the branch begin to bloom again." And what that's talking about is the fig tree of Israel. Now, I'm excited because even this week, I'm up now. It's amazing. I talked about the explosion of knowledge. We started this radio interview with me in Sugarland, Texas, and now I'm in New York City conducting some crusades here. But people are talking about that have been over in Israel, how it's blossoming and how it's blooming for the first time in over 40 years. The word says, "Now learn a parable about the fig tree. When you see the branch begin to bloom again, you'll know that my coming is even at the door."
Gary, let me say something about that.
Okay.
Luke 21:24 says that Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, I do not believe that the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled yet. However, let me throw something at you. June 6th, 1967 was when the Jews regained, remember the Six-Day War, regained
yes.
the Temple Mount. Now, God has given me a date, and I haven't released it publicly yet. I've given it to a few very close friends about the next nuclear war. And I think it's very interesting that 40 years, almost exactly 40 years later from June 6, 1967 is getting very, I'm not releasing any date, but it's in that very close ballpark.
Absolutely. It's going to be around the year 2007 to 2009. I was ministering in a church recently, and a man that's far deeper in prophetic things that I am came up to me, and he agreed with everything that I'd shared, but he believed I've always been taught, Stan, and believed that a generation was 40 years. Now, he believed that it was 42 years. I'm not going to quibble over that.
We're still in the ballpark.
But it still puts us in the same ballpark. It still puts you the year 2007 to 2009. A great prophet that I tremendously respect, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, prophesied just prior to his death, and so far it has been accurate to the detail concerning every year, and he never saw past the year 2006. He saw 2005 that we're living in right now as a year of judgment, and I can tell you certainly And I'm just evangelist that just travels around the local churches and around the world. But the judgment of God upon sin is being poured out, and people are experiencing a season of grace to get things in order. And those that refuse to walk in this holiness are going to be exposed. It's already happening. And we have the opportunity to walk in the light. So I'm more excited.
All right, let me say something else before you get too far away from this. And by the way, folks, we're not trying to kill ourselves nor our ministry by setting a date. Okay, we're not going to do that. Okay. However, what I'm trying to say is, I do believe we are the final generation. That is something I am trying to say.
Now, absolutely.
Let's look at when Israel became a nation. All right, if my memory serves me correct, was it not April 30th of 1948?
Yes.
Okay, all right. 48. How long does a person live? Well, I think there's some people out there that are 100, maybe 110. I don't know if I've heard anybody living over 110, maybe 120 years. So at the very outset, if a person was born on April 30th, 1948, if you add 120 years to there, that's the longest it could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty comfortable this is the final generation.
And
I'm pretty comfortable that it's a whole lot closer. In other words, I personally don't think we have 30 years.
I agree with you 100%.
I don't think we have 20 years.
My message is urgent that everyone get their life right with Jesus Christ, that they prepare to go to heaven. Psalm 102, verse 16, King David said, "When the Lord shall build up Jerusalem, he shall appear in all his glory." And another scripture in connection with what you just said there, Luke 21:24. Is Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And I believe with all my heart we're that generation. And we're just one heartbeat away, we're one trumpet sound away from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never been more thrilled and never been more excited about being a part of a generation than the day and hour in which we live. So I believe we're not to set a specific time, but on the other hand,
We're supposed to watch.
We're supposed to watch.
That's right.
And look and be sensitive to these signs and these things that I'm sharing with you. As I've said, over the past 60 years, have been mysteries to a lot of us, and now just suddenly, there's this vast knowledge explosion, and Israel is coming into its fullness. And I just believe that Jesus is coming. We better be prepared, and we better be ready.
All right, let's go on to the next one.
Okay, the next sign is that it'll be the time of a generation of scoffers. And, of course, 2 Peter 3:2 says, "Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, saying, where is the sign of his coming?" And, of course, we're in that generation that people are saying, well, you know, we've heard that Jesus is going to come back, and we've heard those preachers talk for years that...
Let me say something about that. The reason I think that really, really comes on hard and fast, see, because right now the world... And the whole governments of the world and the news medias and most of the major corporations and everything is pushing for a new world order, a novus ordo seclorum, a new world without God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason we see news that never mentions Jesus, movies that never mention. We are totally, matter of fact, the whole European constitution is primarily taking God out of all political places. So the whole objective right now is to remove God. And go ahead, you start to say something.
Oh, well, that's just all I was going to say is that, 318 times in the New Testament, the Bible tells us Jesus is coming back and gives us a very clear warning. But just as you just said, everybody is not interested per se. They're scoffing at that. They're taking God totally out of anything to do with you know, the media or in our schools. We've seen prayer removed. And so I think that's just a real clear indication that Jesus is coming back.
Okay, now let me go ahead and make my
go
point.
Ahead.
What I was going to say is they're removing God from everything. And I think that when the rapture doesn't take place, mm-hmm. when the bombs do hit and there is no rapture and people find out that God is taking the church through a time of testing, mm-hmm. that's when there's going to be a lot of people going to stand up and say, well, where is the promise of his coming? That's when the scoffer's going to stand up, because all of these preachers, all of these years have been saying, oh, you don't have to worry about all that Bible prophecy because you're not going to be here during that because you're going to be taken out. Well, when it doesn't happen, then there's going to be a lot of people making fun of them.
Right.
That's your scoffers.
That's true. That's exactly right. It's going to be a time when people are just not going to believe, you know, what has been said down through the centuries. But
well,
I agree totally.
When, you know, I'll just say this. When Y2K was coming hard and fast, you know, as a watchman, God's told me specifically in a dream that I am a watchman. Excuse me, I had a cough here. That a watchman, according to Ezekiel 33:6, when they see the sword come, they are to blow the trumpet.
Amen.
Well, no question, Y2K could have been a big problem. And so we reported the problem, but what we didn't know is a lot of the problem, come to find out most all of the problem, was fixed. And I'll tell you what, people railed on us something fierce for simply even mentioning Y2K. As a matter of fact, there are ministries out there that had nothing to do with Y2K, never even talked about it, that people attacked them simply because Y2K didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if something small like Y2K brought such railing accusations against us, it is going to be a small thing compared to when all of the pre-tribbers and the mid-tribbers find out that the tribulation is here and there was no rapture. And there's going to be a great falling away. There's going to be scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? Wait a minute, I thought you were going to get raptured out. Where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things remain just as they have. You're a bunch of liars. And there are going to be people walking off from churches, calling their pastors liars. And tell you what, Christianity is about to take a real big hit over making that big mistake. All right, well, hey, we've still got a lot more to cover, Gary. Hold on. We'll make another broadcast with you right after this, okay?
All right.